Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Thank you for tuning in to the Black and Gold Hockey Podcast. Please subscribe to our weekly Boston Bruins Hockey Talk on listening platforms such as Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Stitcher Radio, and Spotify Podcasts. We'd certainly appreciate it if you give our show a 5-star rating along with a written review. You can also subscribe to our official YouTube channel for a video version of our weekly program. If you'd like to support our show financially, please go to our blackandgoldhockey.com website and click on our affiliated Fanatics banner before shopping online. Another way to financially support our weekly program is to become a Patreon member to be eligible for weekly Boston hockey prizes and monthly Boston Bruins hand-signed jersey giveaways. Please go to patreon.com/blackandgoldhockeypodcast and donate just $1 per episode. Many thanks for the continued support and enjoy the show. What's up, Bruins fans? Welcome back to the Black and Gold Hockey Podcast. I'm your host, Mark Allred, and this is episode 335, and it is brought to you by FanDuel, the exclusive wagering partner of the CLNS Media Network. Sign up at FanDuel.com/Boston, because right now, new FanDuel customers get a no-sweat first bet up to $2,500, and they also offer fantastic welcome bonuses when you sign up for a free account and make your first cash deposit. I'm Mark, flying solo. We have no Steve Forney this week and no Grace Roberts. It is Father's Day, so this is a Father's Day special. So a big shout out to all the dads out there. Hope you're all having an amazing day with your families. And if you're not a dad and you're a mom that's working extra duties, shout out to you as well for playing both roles in a family. So, yeah, I'm flying solo. So I got some Bruins news that I do want to talk about, some show updates, company updates. Our Black and Gold production sports media company is growing by the day, and we need to make adjustments during the off season to, get ready for a big upcoming year, when the Boston Bruins get back at it. So, unfortunately, it comes with some bad news. Our host, Steve Forney, is leaving the Black and Gold Hockey Podcast, and he's going on to bigger and better things. And I'm really, really proud of Steve and can't thank him enough for his efforts here the past couple of months, talking bees with me, because he's really brought the show to another level. And he's going to do great things for the Springfield Thunderbirds, as he's the arena address announcer for the American Hockey League club, the affiliate of the St. Louis Blues, and he's going to move on to do a podcast for them. So he's going to have a great host, and I guarantee it's going to be a great program, the one that I'm going to support because I'm a hockey podcast junkie. But also, Steve's a great guy, and I'll run through a wall for him. So again, I cannot thank Steve enough for his contributions here. He just did a tremendous job, and just a good guy to talk puck with. But, you know, Grace Roberts is still here, and we're going to bring in a new host to, you know, grind the gears and set the agenda. And that is Chris Nosek. And many of Bruins fans out there know Chris. He's a knowledgeable Boston Bruins fan. And he works at the Black and Gold Productions Sports Media Company as well. You can follow him at CNOSEK6342. He's also the host of the What's Brewing Hockey podcast with Mike Sullivan. They do live streams every Monday at another great program on the BNG network. And he's also starting a brand new podcast called Puck Off with Andrew Johnson of the Short Shift Hockey podcast, which is also on Black and Gold Productions podcast network. So we're growing. And obviously with that, we need more, you know, content. If you, you know, want to join our team as a website writer, we'd love to have you. We cover all aspects of the Boston Bruins organization from the NHL level down to the prospects worldwide. If you like writing and you're somewhat decent at it, reach out to us. We want to grow even more and just create more content via the website. But we're also looking for podcasts, you know, new or existing Bruins related podcasts or NHL related podcasts. We're looking to, you know, grow our network and with greater opportunities as we try to expand our company a little bit further into the digital content world. So I'm looking forward to the challenge. And with those challenges, obviously things get busy. I have a 40-hour week job, and I also do the BNG productions for 40 to 60 hours, it seems. But, you know, with that workload, I've decided to, you know, promote Chris Nosek, who is the new main host of the Black and Gold Hockey podcast, starting in 2 weeks. So he's going to come in and we're going to talk bees. And, you know, like I said, he's a knowledgeable guy, but he's coming in a very integral role as well, or spot, because it's going to be, you know, free agency, you know, the draft, development camp, all this stuff is going on. So Chris is just going to be, you know, grinding it out here. But I've also promoted him to be a manager and kind of help me with the day-to-day business stuff as we grow. So, you know, if you have any talent as a writer or a content creator, even YouTubers, if you, any YouTubers out there want to like join forces and so on, we'd love to grow our network on that particular platform as well. YouTube's a very, very a good platform to get content out. You know, you get good character, freaking visuals and so on of how people are and how passionate they are when you're covering a certain fan base. So would love to have that addition. But obviously sad to see Chris go. Steve go. You know, he's a great guy, but, you know, I can't wait for his new program starting in the fall. All right, I guess we should, you know, just start the program as it is. I am solo today again, as I mentioned, but, you know, I got some topics that I wanted to talk about, you know, and also I reached out to our social media networks and, or platforms, sorry, and asked for questions or a topic I should be discussing, and I picked out 10 good ones from either Twitter, our Discord server, the BNG Discord server. The link is in the bio. Please join if you'd like. We'd love to have you in our community just talking hockey. It's a lot of fun. You know, and also please subscribe to our YouTube channel as we grow and we're getting more programs involved. And, you know, set those notifications because things are going to be big this year with lots of content coming out on all platforms. Talk about Bruce Cassidy. You know, I mean, what can you say about the Vegas Golden Knights this year, this postseason? And, you know, Cassidy as a whole, as a, you know, former Boston Bruins head coach moving out there in his first year, you know, it obviously having him win, you know, stirs up some mixed emotions about how he departed from the Boston Bruins organization. And obviously, you know, having your boss come to breakfast and, you know, fired in your own house is not ideal, but, and kind of shitty, to be honest with you. But, you know, the message remains that, you know, it was just the locker room needed a change, and I totally get it. And, you know, good on him for going out there and having that type of roster to work with, which is very veteran laden. You know, it's mixed with youth, but I find that team to be very, you know, mature, if you can say, you know. just going back to some narratives out there about, you know, obviously he wins and it stirs up the mixed emotions of, you see, I told you so. He could have won here, and we could have had our seventh, league championship. I don't believe that. I honestly don't believe that is true at all. This team is, four members shy of what they accomplished against the Carolina Hurricanes the year before when they got bounced in the first round as well. I just don't think that those, they helped, yes, but they weren't there all season and so on. But I just think that if Bruce Cassidy had this Boston Bruins roster, I think the same results could have happened, or they could have not even made the playoffs, to be honest with you. I just, when Jim Montgomery came in and took over this team, I just thought it was, you could see that the message was clear, and we need to be more communicative and not be so pushy and allow leashes to be extended longer when you're talking about, individuals play and so on. And I think that Montgomery got the best out of a lot of players that seemed to be on the doghouse with Cassidy here. So, I mean, to me, it just made sense. But that's me anyway. But congratulations to Cassidy and the Vegas Golden Knights on winning the 2023 Stanley Cup. And an amazing story, and Bruce from grinding it out in Washington and getting fired from there and starting all over. I mean, it's a great story, and he should be very proud of what he's doing and never giving up on the dream. And like he said, he's a part of the club now, and that's a pretty damn good club. So, I have no bad feelings about Bruce at all and what happened. It is what it is. All right, so moving on, the NHL buyout window is officially open, and it seems that a lot of people are really pushing for either Mike Riley or Derek Forbert to be bought out in that window, both together or one. I know there's no limit in this first buyout window. I think the second window is limited. So, the Boston Bruins have been trying to get rid of, Mike Riley's contract for a couple of years now, purely for the cap reasons. Carrying a $3 million AAV when you're basically playing in the American Hockey League, it's not ideal. It's not attractive to other teams. I'm sure that if Mike Riley's contract was 1.5, I think a team would have scooped them up a while ago, but I just think that they're afraid of carrying the AAV, and the actual money is $4 million this next season. So, I mean, his AAV will still be three, but the real money will be four. So, that's another avenue that teams might say, we just don't want to spend it on a player like him. So, I mean, the ultimate thing is, if you can't shop him and nobody's biting, you got to buy him out, and I remember Ty Anderson was talking on a program, I think it was the Hacks with Hags program on their YouTube channel, Bruins CLNS Media, and he was saying that if Riley's bought out, the Bruins would save $2.6 million in cap space. So we're already 4.5 in the hole, 2.6, you're basically half there, and that's my Amesbury math speaking. So, Forbert, the whole thing with him getting more minutes over a healthy Grizzly, it's mind-boggling to me. But we will talk about some of the decisions that Montgomery came out with in this first round of this year's Stanley Cup playoffs. So, if they do buy anybody out or a couple people out, I mean those are the two right there that I would target, because that would shed $6 million. And it would be a great start to, the long laundry list of things that Don Sweeney and Evan Gold have to do this offseason when you're talking to your UFAs and your RFAs. It's not going to be an easy offseason at all. And, there's probably going to be a casualty. Who knows? But all I know is that the roster, it sounds like it's not going to be the same. It might be a little different. So who knows, with all the rumors that have been going around. This one was a very interesting one, and I keep forgetting to to pop up some of these for the YouTube viewers, but an article was written by the hockey writers website, and Justin Caron wrote this article about how a big trade could help the salary cap needs of the Bruins. And in the article, he said Boston could offer the Jets their next starting goaltender by including Linus Ullmark, who carries a $5 million cap hit, in the deal. They could also send Jake DeBrusk, $4 million, Brandon Carlo, $4.1 million, Matt Grizzlick, $3.6 million, and possibly top prospect Fabian Lysell to the Winnipeg Jets. In return, the Bruins would receive both Dubas, a pending RFA, and Shifley. Shifley's got, I think, term left, I think one more year, at $6.1 million. From a salary perspective, they would be sending $16.7 million in salary to the Jets while taking on just Shifley's contract. This would leave Sweeney and an additional $10.6 million before signing Dubois. A long-term extension for Dubois should come around the $7 million to $8 million mark, leaving the Bruins with $2.5 million to $3.5 million more in cap space than they already have today. That's a very interesting conversation right there, and a lot to unpack, to be honest. I'm not sold on Shifley, to be honest with you. I always get kind of, you know, leery about players like him that ask for trades because they're not happy in certain places. And I said the same thing about Pierre-Luc Dubois as well, and the idea of Boston getting him because, you know, is he a flight risk? So I'm not totally sure. I don't see the Winnipeg Jets biting on a trade like that, to be honest. I mean, it remains to be seen how, you know, this roster could change and how drastic it could, but I just don't, that just seems to me like a PS5 EA Sports kind of trade. But if the numbers make sense, then you know, it could possibly happen, but I don't know. I'm not sure. Moving on to another topic, per Andy Strickland, Boston forward Trent Frederick is an interesting player to pay attention to. An attractive player for a team looking to add size. Boston, up against the cap, will need to move some money. Headed to arbitration rights with Bruins if contract isn't agreed beforehand. Several teams paying close attention. That kind of, you know, makes me nervous. I mean, he's an RFA, so the Boston Bruins do have team control right now. But he's right. Teams are going to look because they know that we're hemorrhaging right now. So, you know, we need cap space and so on. These are where the rumors are going to start to gravitate. And obviously Andy Strickland, he covers the St. Louis Blues, a very good reporter for the Blues, and in the know. So yeah, I could definitely see him being a commodity around the league when it comes to future additions to their teams. But I also see the Bruins re-signing him. I think Trent's still got a lot to give, physically and offensively, that we just haven't seen yet. And this year under Montgomery, under Montgomery, I think is the start of a really good NHL career for Trent. Has that leash that it seems like he was, yanked on a lot under a Cassidy regime. But, I could definitely see Frederick coming back at right around $2 million. And I know the cap crunch and everything like that. But I think that Evan Gold and Don Sweeney can massage that cap to, get a spot for Frederick and give it a year term or a 2 year. You know, I think that could be, I think that could be done. And I'd like to see him stick around because I think that he plays a big role on this team for the physical factor. And I know that lacked a lot against the Florida Panthers in the first round. But still, I think there's a lot there that the Bruins would miss if he was happening to be given up. But you know, in the salary cap crunch, I see him as an asset as well, on the you know, trade market. So, speaking of Don Sweeney and Evan Gold and that list of players that they, you know, they have to attend to this off season, our friend Dom Tiano, you know, has been on top of a lot of things this year. You know, any year, this guy's just amazing. But here are some things that he tweeted out about some of the things that have to be done. Requiring qualifying offers: Trent Frederick, Jeremy Swayman, Mark McLaughlin, Michael DiPietro, Brandon Bussey, Samuel Esslein, Jacob Lauko, Kyle Kaiser, and Shane Bowers. So out of this list, I think they will qualify Frederick, Swayman, McLaughlin, DiPietro, Bussey, and Jacob Lauko. And I'm not too sure about what's going to happen with Samuel Esslein, Kyle Kaiser, or Shane Bowers, who we got in a trade with the Colorado Avalanche for Keith Kincaid. So when he asked for a trade out of Providence and out of the Bruins organization. So those are the ones that I think will probably most likely get qualified. You know, I was a big fan of Esslein signing as a free agent with the, you know, the Providence Bruins as an AHL-only contract, and it worked his way up to a two-way. So, you know, he's been a good soldier and so on, but that speed and his offensive creativity kind of tailed off a little bit for me, in my opinion. So, Kyle Kaiser has been a goaltender in the league for a long time, and I, you know, he's a great kid, and, you know, he's a good goalie, but I just think injuries and him just, you know, basically playing out of the organization is going to play, you know, have him be a free agent this year. I just don't think the Bruins, you know, with what they have in Brandon Bussey, I think that they can let go of a guy like Kyle Kaiser and give Kyle the opportunity to, you know, to go elsewhere and have a fruitful NHL career if he can catch on somewhere else and has a better path to do so, because it just seems like the landscape and goaltending depth, you know, have a player like him, you know, looking, seeing, and just basically saying, I got no chance for pro success in this organization. So it happens, but, you know, if it does happen and he's a free agent, you know, solid thank you for what you brought, you know, coming from the Ottawa Generals, and where he developed, I think, really well, and then came into the minor pros and, you know, got banged up a little bit and just struggled with injuries. I think that maybe a change of scenery could change his career around, and obviously I hope so. Shane Bowers, I'm not sure. He really didn't show anything for me in Providence, you know, with the trade, and it was just, I don't know, I just think that he's going to walk as well. So moving on to the second tweet that Dom Tiano posted out, and NHL Bruins with arbitration rights. That's Trent Frederick, Jeremy Swayman, Samuel Esslein, Shane Bowers, Mark McLaughlin, and Brandon Bussey. Obviously, you know how I feel about Esslein and Bowers and everybody else. So, and then the third tweet that he sent out, NHL Bruins who become Group 6 unrestricted free agents: Matt Philippe, Juuso Kapanen, Nick Wolf, and Jack Eichel. And unfortunately, I don't see any of these guys coming back. As much as I love to hang on to Juuso Kapanen and his penalty killing skills and his size and so on, I just think that if he hasn't cracked the NHL roster by now, I'm not sure if he can here. But I don't think that potential, that NHL potential, is completely gone. Like Kaiser, I believe that he could catch on to another organization and possibly, you know, work there to get, you know, some NHL time. So I'm not sure about Nick Wolf either. I think that the Boston Bruins have tried, you know, a project with these bigger defensemen out of college. And, you know, Rob O'Gara didn't work out. Wiley Sherman didn't really work out. And I'm not sure if Nick Wolf's going to work out either, but again, you know, I liked his game, I like his physicality, but it just wasn't there all the time for me. That really stuck out as like a real solid Boston Bruins prospect. I mean, it's everybody bought into the size and the grit that he could bring, but I really didn't see much of that down in Providence. And, you know, I could be wrong in my assessment. I just thought that, you know, that project that they've been working on with the bigger size and trying to get a little bit of mobility out of a bigger player has just kind of failed when they're looking at talent, especially drafting them. So out of the NCAA, I'm not sure if Nick Wolf was, no, Nick Wolf was not drafted. He signed as a free agent. So I think Wiley Sherman and Rob O'Gara were both drafted. But anyway, I don't see these guys come back. You know, unfortunate for Jack O'Shaughnessy, he was a great soldier down in Providence and in the NHL when he got the call. I thought he, you know, rise to the occasion when he came up to the NHL and he played good. You know, he's a fast, quick guy. He's going to catch on somewhere else. You know, he's the type of a player that could definitely quarterback a power play. I thought him and I thought what he did and what Connor Carrick did down in Providence last season was pretty good when they were both, you know, pretty much walking the line a lot, looking for opportunities to get a shot in or you know, pass it down low. And, you know, but it's too bad because I really wanted him to stick around. But, you know, then that narrative of he's too small and players don't last like that in the playoffs. Well, you know, I keep going back to players like Jonathan Marchessault and winning a Stanley Cup this year. So, you know, even smaller players can win championships. Here's an interesting one that I've been pondering to talk about, but it does relate to the Bruins, but it's not generally Bruins related. It's Dana White from the UFC, and he just ripped the NHL. He's just like, fuck them. They're all old, dumb fucking people that have no idea what's going on, White said. They have no idea where this younger generation is, how you reach them, any of that shit. White also cited that some statistics claiming that the NHL did 25 million video views during the conference finals, whereas in his fight promotion, Powers, I'm not sure what that is, they got 90 million views. So basically what he's doing is he's trashing the NHL's freaking marketing scheme because it is pretty bad. And one of the reasons why I wanted to bring this up is, you know, there is a CBA that's coming up soon, and this could play a tactic into how the players negotiate. Marty Walsh is now the players union, you know, guy. This could send a ripple effect of how, you know, that the players in the league could like battle on for a while, because if the league doesn't like get out of their realm of what they're doing or previously done as a marketing scheme, they need to stop and definitely like promote these players much better, because they could be getting more earnings. If you know, the more you promote, the more you freaking earn. And I think that the players want to see that potential earnings that they could be getting if the league promoted them better. I think that plays a huge role in negotiations for another collective bargaining agreement. Especially, you know, with everything that's been going on with Bally Sports and so on, the league losing a little bit of money. I'm just absolutely shocked that they're not promoting this league and this game better. You know, no wonder why people rank hockey as the fourth best in North America. You know, it's sad that they don't do enough. And I think that definitely going to play a role. I mean, everything plays a role in negotiations and this shit like that, and earnings and rev shares and blah blah blah. I mean, obviously the players want more money and so on, and you know they should be paid a lot more. Like, you know, I'm not saying like the football players or the baseball players and so on of the world, but they should be getting a lot more. And our salary cap should be going up. By the way, I don't believe that's crap. So I think that the salary cap should at least go up $2.5 million, you know, this year, and then go up, and then the next 2 years at least get it to 100, you know. But like every analyst has said, you know, in their podcasts or in their articles, as soon as the freaking salary cap goes up, all these freaking teams that are up against it every year are now going to be like, we have no money. And now you're up against the cap, so you're basically at square one again. So, and I get that narrative as well. During the 2023 Stanley Cup Finals, the ratings, the national ratings, took a pretty plummeting freaking plunge. Alan Walsh, a noted player agent, and on the Agent Provocateur Hockey Podcast with Adam Wild of the Steve Dangle Podcast, he tweeted this out, and it was kind of shocking to see. We knew it was going to be bad, but holy hell. The Stanley Cup Finals national broadcast ratings down 43% this year from last year. So yeah, it was not good for the league, a league that's struggling financially, and you know, playoff revenue. You know, if your viewership's down, you're not making as much money, I guess. But yeah, it was a tough one. You know, there's no original six members in the playoffs. Well, you know, in the Stanley Cup Finals at least, which I don't know. Does that drive the number down because some of the league's longest tenured freaking clubs can, you know, pretty much, you know, own those numbers? I don't know. It should be interesting. And I'm babbling along, and I'm sorry because I'm not good at this, you know, solo podcast. So I apologize in advance for me babbling along. But so the Vegas Hockey Now website reported something that happened in the job search for a head coach in Vegas. And before Bruce Cassidy got hired, Mark Stone, I believe, this is what they said. I'm going to put it up here for the YouTube videos and you. Vegas general manager George McPhee tells a story that Kelly McCrimmon asked Mark Stone to call Patrice Bergeron before they hired Bruce Cassidy. Bergeron told Stone, if Vegas hired Bruce, they'll win the Stanley Cup next year. And guess what happened? They did. So there's a little bit of mixed emotions with this and so on from Bruins fans who love to freaking overreact. It's just an evaluation. You know, and why speak bad about Bruce? I think Patrice and Bruce had a decent relationship, regardless of the rumors going around about the split in the room. You know, as your captain, you hear it from both sides. You're the middle person. You know, you're the one that's telling Bruce about what's going on in the room and how, you know, how everybody is and so on. So, of course, you got to get along and have some, you know, dialogue there. But, you know, maybe there was a time for them to split apart and so on, but to give a call and say, you know, hey, you know, he's good character and so on, and he's a good coach. He is a good coach, and he deserves what he got. So, you know, good on Patrice for doing something like that, and he was absolutely right, you know. But if you look at the optics, you know, I think that every time Vegas made a change, they got a response out of their out of the players, whether it be the first time Gerard Gallant is the head coach, the first year of their existence, and they go to the Cup Finals. And then Pete DeBoer comes in and has a pretty decent freaking season in his first year, which he does everywhere. Everywhere that guy goes, he seems to have a big year and then fizzles out. So this was kind of, you know, written in the stones that this could actually happen and get a response, you know, much like how, you know, the reverse effect happened to the Boston Bruins getting Jim Montgomery. You know, nobody thought we were going to be seeing the playoff picture with so many injuries to the roster last year, but they seemed to work it all out and you know, play for one another and had an historic regular season in the National Hockey League. So, you know, anything could happen at all. But I'm not going to tear Patrice Bergeron for saying something like that. You know, I just think that it was good character, and they reached out to Patrice because he's a class act and he's well known around the league as being a great guy. And, you know, and if anything, that's, I think, where you want to go. You know, you're not going to call the coach and say, hey, you know, how are you? This and that. How are you behind the bench? You want to hear it from somebody that was constantly around him and during the regular season and playoffs and you know, how he read the room, you know? So, yeah, it's not that bad. And I know people are, you know, going off the deep end, but I think they're just taking it out of way out of the context. All right, I think it's part of the show where we hear from our show sponsors. Let's hear from FanDuel, great website and so on. And also to follow that, we'll hear from the amazing Action Electronics. So more Bruins hockey talk, and we'll answer all your questions on the other side of these two commercials. You guys did a great job by sending some tweets in and questions on the Discord and even on Facebook. So truly appreciate you guys helping me out, getting this solo dolo, you know, over with and talk some hockey with you. So, yeah, we'll definitely talk bees on the other side. Baseball season is in full swing, and there's no better place to get in on the action than FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Because right now, new customers get a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's $1,000 back in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Just go to FanDuel.com/Boston to join today. I'm using FanDuel all the time. It's baseball season. Not a big baseball guy, but there's always action to bet on. And obviously the Red Sox, they're not doing great this year, but still I bet against them sometimes, and I've been successful. So, but there's also golf, one of my favorite things to watch. This coming weekend, the Travelers Championship is on June 22nd to the 25th from TPC River Highlands. So if you're a golf nut like me, get in on the action. So don't miss your chance to snag a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000 when you join FanDuel today. Just go to FanDuel.com/Boston to sign up. FanDuel, official partner of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks are used with permission. 21+ and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 deposit required. Refunds are issued as non-redeemable bonus bets that expire in 14 days. Restrictions apply. See terms at FanDuel.com/sportsbook. Hope is here. Gambling helpline MA.org or call 1-800-327-5050. That's 1-800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Here from our friends at Action Electronics. For over 30 years, Action Electronics, a wall pole mask company, has been the leading source of value-added, time-saving supply chain solutions. You can visit them online at actionelectronics.com. That's actionelectronics.com. Please give their customer service a call, 508-668-3131. Follow the company's social media accounts as well, right there up on the screen, facebook.com/actionelectronics. Instagram, they are at Action Electronics. And on Twitter, they are at AE Supply Chain. Don't forget, they also have a YouTube channel as well, at Action Electronics TV. So big shout out to our friends at Action Electronics.
All right. And like I said before the commercials, I want to thank everybody for the questions that you guys provided. I really appreciate it. Let's hit it. Let's get question number one. And this is from Old Dog. You can follow him on Twitter at JRSTR6. That's at JRSTR6. When Bergeron hangs him up, does he stay involved in the sport or ride off into the sunset? Coaching, management, ownership, or even player agency. Juniors, minor leagues, who knows? I think that Patrice is one of those players that is just black and gold through and through. He might take some time off to be with his family a little bit and then come back into a role much like, you know, Adam McQuaid has done and Chris Kelly has done. You know, like a player development role, and maybe even learn more about the game and the business itself. You know, he's beloved by the fans, and he's beloved by the organization. So I think that the Bees would heavily consider having an ambassador of the league like him, you know, join the ranks of the business and so on. Yeah, I could see that happening. Hopefully it doesn't happen anytime soon. You know, I would like to see Patrice play in the 100th anniversary of the team. So, yeah, that'd be a lot of fun. Question number two. And this is from Seth Gordon. You can follow him on Twitter, at Seth W. Gordon. That's at Seth W. Gordon. My questions are, what will the Bruins' left side on the defense look like on opening night? Could see a lot change there. Are there any buyout candidates available in a trade that the Bruins should go after? I'm not expecting much in free agency. Who might the Bruins sign? Yeah, a little bit to unpack there, Seth. I don't know about the left side, because if they want to save money on the salary cap and promote a younger player, that very well could happen. So I'm not sure. I'm not sure if Mason Lowry is absolutely ready for the NHL quite yet. I'm willing to give him a full year in Providence, or maybe even half a season, and then bring him up. I don't know, but I mean, that's just an option to save money. And I'm not really too sure about who they could get if they wanted to trade for a left defenseman and so on. And obviously the free agency is so thin. You could honestly take a look at, you know, Shane Gostisbehere, a defenseman with Carolina. He's 30 years old. He had decent numbers, 41 points in 75 games. He's got a $4.5 million cap hit, but he's UFA, so that number could go down. But then again, the salary cap's a whole different animal, so I'm not too sure. But thanks for the question, and thanks for the question too, old dog. I appreciate it. Question three. And this is from our Discord member, Mo. Mo is the man. He says, I got one. Do you think the Bruins' new style of play last year will have the same success this upcoming year? I'm curious if we taught other teams, if we caught other teams off guard with our defense being aggressive, and if now teams can prepare better for it. Absolutely. I think that... I think the Bruins did a really good job. Obviously, Jim Montgomery is a brand new coach, and John Gruden, his assistant, is a new coach for the Boston Bruins just last year. So when they came into the previous season, they exemplified they want to generate more opportunities from the back end. And they got that a lot last season. Which was a higher rate than ever. They were generating so much just shots and offense and second chances and so on for the forwards that were planted in front of the net for the net front presence and so on. That didn't translate at all to the playoffs. I don't even remember a goal or anything good happening in the playoffs in the first round for generating offense from the blue line. So, I think that, you know, what they want to do this upcoming season is kind of have the same mentality, but don't take the foot off the gas when it comes to the postseason, regardless of who's injured or not and who's new and who's not. You know, you all have to buy in at a certain point, and they didn't buy in at all. So, not too sure about that one. Let's see. I just want to make sure I didn't miss anything. No, I think I answered that one pretty good. All right, so question number four, and this is also from Discord, and this is actually from Maria from Watertown. She's one of my favorite people. Is it too early to grade Jim Montgomery as a coach? I personally don't feel that he was challenged during the regular season, and playoff coaching decisions were suspect at best. I'd have to agree with that, just because that it... You heard him a couple times in some media discussions that when he's you know, obviously pumping the tires of his team, who had a record-breaking season last year, you know, they basically don't have to be coached, that he'll, you know, allows them to coach themselves. I don't think that that's going to be the same coming up next year. I don't think you will ever hear those words come out of Jim Montgomery's mouth again, because obviously things need to change, and at the most important times. You know, we don't know what's going to happen with the roster, with Bergeron and Krejci up in the air. Absolutely no idea with that, and who they're going to insert when they're trying to, you know, get a little younger at cap friendly numbers to be cap compliant by October. So, and like I said before, that with the free agency so thin, I'm actually not sure right now, with salary projections, on if they can even sign like free agents. I think that they should go the PTO route. I wouldn't commit when you're up against the cap like this and you're struggling to be cap compliant and you're already $4.5 million over in penalties. I wouldn't commit to any contracts right now, but say like a player like Anthony Mantha, who's a big winger, and I think he's got a lot more potential, might need a new, you know, change of scenery to spark something. But I think that he could come in on a PTO, show the Boston Bruins that he could earn a contract, and then do it from there. But I wouldn't commit to anything. You know, I wouldn't sign Anthony Mantha to $2 million 2 years anytime soon, because we haven't seen how he could create chemistry with other players that are on the current core of this Boston Bruins organization. So I would want to see that before I commit to it. Let's go to question number 5, and this is from Darren Burris. Is Bussy NHL ready? Is Swayman number 1 starter ready? What would you expect in return if they should trade Allmark? I'm going to hit the Bussy one. I think he's NHL ready if the salary cap needs him to be. Obviously, you know, him... He's got RFA status right now, and he's got arbitration rights, so that should be interesting on how it goes. But I still think that he's going to get a contract, a two-way NHL deal for like $1 million each year. That's kind of my projection. He could even do like $950,000 because his qualifying offer, I think, is $887,000. So I want to say $950,000 to $1 million. Would get him locked in, and I think that he's the future of this team. You know, I think Jeremy Swayman is too, and he's going to be around a while, but a player like Brandon Bussy could be the next guy up that's going to challenge for starting time. So, and he's a big kid. He reads the puck very well, square to the puck, great reactionary goaltender, really good down low. The Boston Bruins organization really does tend to have Bob Asenza and Mike Dunham work with bigger goaltenders that are good down low. You know, there's not many times some of these kids are allowing a puck off a skate, you know. They're getting cleanly beat, but, you know, the down low game has been really strong for a lot of prospects in the developing core. So, is Swayman number one? Yeah, I believe so. And if Allmark is traded, yeah, you got to keep Swayman around for a while, and you got to, you know, pay him and, you know, and play him, because I think that he's going to be the type of goaltender. He's 24 years old, so I think he's going to be 25 next season. And I think that he could ride a 60-game season. And, you know, and if Brandon Bussy needs to come up for salary cap relief this offseason, I think that they could be a great tandem together. I'm not saying that it's going to be a Jennings Trophy tandem like Allmark and Swayman did this past season, but... You know, you get the kid some experience, and he's there on a cap-friendly deal. Now, if they trade Allmark to get some draft capital, I could honestly see that. I don't know if they don't believe in Bussy this year. I think that they could go cheap on a free agent, and there's a couple free agents out there that could come into Boston and work well with Swayman. You know, even like a Jonathan Quick. I know he's older and so on, but he might want to stick around for a while. He's from the Connecticut area, you know, so who knows. But that's only if you want to spend. I think Quick will come in here for $1 million. I don't think he's going to want an exorbitant amount of money to be the backup, but I think that he'd be kind of cool with Jeremy Swayman. But you know, that's only if they don't believe in Bussy. And I believed in the kid, and I know he's got the tools to do it. But you know, a lot of people are just, they want the eye test. He doesn't have NHL time right now, so it's always one of those questioning factors of if he's ready. But salary cap can make teams do strange things, so we'll see what happens. BNG question number 6. This is from Jason from Florida. Follow him on Twitter at JasonFromFL863. That's at JasonFromFL863. Would you take a flyer on OEL on a low-cost prove-it deal? Also, what are some other low-risk, high-reward players you think the Bruins should be interested in? This is an interesting question because the Vancouver Canucks bought out Oliver Ekman-Larsson. He's a 31-year-old left defenseman. You know, we could definitely use a player like him. But they bought out his contract at $8.2 million per season. And he's 31. I'm not totally sure if he goes elsewhere or comes to Boston that he's going to come down much off of what he made last year, because that might set the tone that he thinks that he's worth. Not even at $5 million. If they knock $3 million off of that, I'm not even sure that they could bring him here to Boston for 1 year. I'm not sure if he would sign that. I think he's going to want a deal. He's 31 years old. I think he's going to want a deal that's probably going to set him up for the last remaining years of his contract. And I'm not sure if that's here in Boston with the salary cap structure that we have, or lack thereof. So I don't know. Some of the free agent, low risk, high reward. I talked about Anthony Mantha and the PTO. I don't know if you would give Gustav Nyquist a shot, but I would PTO him as well. I don't want to bring back Milan Lucic. I'm tired of the story. Sean Monahan's another interesting one that could play all three forward positions. But he was at 6.3, so I'm not sure if he's going to want to back off much of that. So, I mean, we just don't have salary cap space for me to really guess on who could be here. I don't know. It should be interesting. Like Alex Killorn is a 33-year-old right wing and left wing, shooting left. You know, he had some decent numbers last year. And, you know, he's at 4.4. I wonder if he comes down or if he wants to do the same thing, set up for a contract so he can have like a nest egg and so on. So hopefully that answers that question. Thank you, Jason. Question number 7, Jason Larade. Thank you, Jason. You can follow him at caper_J. That's at caper_JAY. Hashtag AskBNG. Is there anyone in free agency you would like them to target at a low risk, high reward type player? And if you can't sign Bertuzzi, would you like to see them try to get someone like Bunting? Sorry, Jason, but this is probably all like barreled into like the previous discussion I just had with question number 6. I'm really not too sure about what's available. It's so thin and so on. I mean, I'm looking at Cap Friendly right now, but it's just the numbers of projected contracts that have me all over the place when thinking about additions, because we just don't have the cap space right now. You know, and it remains to be seen what the roster is going to look like. So sorry if I couldn't answer that question, but I just feel like I kind of like talked at length about it before, but you know, I'll drag your question in, and it was very much appreciated. Question number 8. This is from Mark with a C, Aubee, AUBEE, and you can follow him on Twitter at OBTALK. That's OB Talk. Do you think the Bruins team up on a deal with New Jersey again? Maybe a Sharangovich for Frederick deal? I think it would be more than one for one. I'm really not sure about that player, Sharon Govich. I've heard his name and seen him a couple times, but I really don't have a proper evaluation for a player like that. But I do with Frederick. I like Trent Frederick. I've seen him throughout his career. I watched him in the U.S. program, the U.S. national program. Saw him at the Wisconsin NCAA. His couple years in Providence, and obviously up to the NHL. I think this is a player that the Bruins need to keep. I think he provides something that they don't want to lose. And I think he's well-respected in the room as well, you know, as a younger member. So I'm not sure about Sharon Govich. I'm sorry about that, Mark. And thanks for the question. BNG question number 9. This is from ThornsFan19. And you can follow him on Twitter at ThornsFan19. That's ThornsFan19. What contract do you offer Jake DeBrus to keep him in a Bruins uniform? If Bertuzzi asks for 8 years for him to forego free agency, what's the maximum AAV you would offer? Jesus, this is an interesting one. Like, the DeBrusque, he's got one more season at $4 million, which I think is a very good deal for him. And if he hasn't, if he has another year like he did last season, I think that he could get paid, but I'm not sure if it's going to be here in Boston. Hopefully it is. I'd like to see him, you know, spend a lot of years here as a Boston Bruin. His cap hit is something that's going to be needed to be. I don't know. I'm all over the place on this one. I like him as a player, but I see value. But if he is signed for another year, so if next year's expectations fall low, real low, you might see a player like him be moved at the trade deadline. So I wouldn't leave that out of the realm. But if he was to be retained and they could work it out, I mean, could you see his value being at $5 million, $1 million raise after, you know, a good year? And now it's, you know, we might give you another contract, let's say, three years or 4 years at $5 million. You know, continue the show me deals that you want to be here and you want to be an outstanding member of the National Hockey League at the highest level, and, you know, you're earning it. If you're not earning it, then, you know, it's not worth the process, in my opinion. But I'd like to see Jake around, but, you know, it's a business, and there's going to be a cap casualty or two this summer, so who knows what happens. Question number 10, and the final one. #AskBNG. This is from Daryl Ingram. You could follow him on Twitter, IngramDaryl31. Sorry about that. He says, hey, Mark, what do you think the trade value would be for Grizzlick and Allmark? Another one that's a tough one to think about, because all I'm thinking about is shedding a roster spot in the back end and at least $3 million in salary. So that is Matt Grizzlick. I think he's got value, but I'm not sure what the trade value would be. So, like, for a player. But for me, I kind of think that he should be moved for a second round draft pick to get something in the one of the two rounds in this year's draft to help kind of replenish the prospect pool. You know, Providence does have a decent roster. The Bruins minor pro system does do well on the standings and so on, but another team that gets bounced in the first round way too often. But it's all about development down there, you know. So I want to see some draft capital come back if Grizzlick is moved. Obviously, if Allmark is moved, he could potentially, as a Vezina Trophy winner this year, get you a first round. So now you're back into, you get a first round pick and you know your second round pick for Grizzlick, and then you already have your third, I believe, and the fourth, and you don't have a fifth, and, you know, a couple late ones. You know, that could happen if you want to go that way. But also, you'd shed $5 million in Allmark's salary. So, Not out of the realm of happening. We have two great goaltenders this past season. One's going to be a Vezina, and the other, and then the tandem won the Jennings. So I have full trust in what Jeremy Swayman can do if he's here next season. And I also have trust if Ullmark's here as well, even though that his playoff record is kind of shady when you're talking about, you know, the success in the postseason. But the way he played, I think that he likes it here, and I think that he worked well here. So, but I honestly think that one of the goaltenders is going. I cannot see any path. And I know people are going to call me out and you know, get their projections out and so on, and that's fine. Please share it with me. I'd like to see the path that they can realistically keep both goaltenders. But with the numbers that some of these projections are coming out, you know, Swayman could be getting $3-4 million, and he's arbitration, and you know where the arbiter normally goes to the player if it gets that far. So, you know, do you want to have on your salary cap $8-10 million in your cap struggles for the upcoming year, and you're not even compliant? I just don't see it. I just don't see it in a world that you can keep both of them. So one of them's going to go, but which one's going to have you the greatest value? You know, I mean, Swayman is a young goaltender, great prodigy. Any team out there that has the capability to, like, offer sheet him, I talked about this last week, you know, could possibly get a great opportunity for a franchise netminder. I don't want to see that happen. So, but like I said, somebody's got to go. All right, so that is basically it for all the questions. We had 10 great questions. Thank you very much. And again, I want to apologize. I don't normally do these alone, so it's kind of a shit show going everywhere. But I just want to say thank you for everybody that participated, you know, with things to talk about, to get an hour program out and so on. We will be back next week to talk to Steve Forney and Grace Roberts. And Steve will ultimately, this will be his last broadcast here on the Black and Gold Hockey Podcast as he moves on to an American Hockey League Springfield Thunderbirds related program for the whole season next year. So congratulations to him on that. But we'll talk about all that and obviously a signing off next week, which is going to be probably going to be an emotional one. So I like Steve a lot, and I liked what he brought to the program. You know, we have a great company here and a lot of great supporting members that really drive the train here. So I can't thank him enough for his effort week by week when talking to me and trying to understand my shit that comes out of my mouth. So we do have a Patreon account. So if you want to get involved in that, next week we will be giving away this hand-signed Adam McQuaid jersey, fully authenticated by JSA Sports, and this jersey came from Bruce Sullivan from Boston Sports and Music Memorabilia. So for $1, you can have a chance to win this next week. So please go to patreon.com/blackandgoldhockeypodcast. Donate $1 per episode, and like I said all the time, we use half of your dollar to pay the bills here, the Black and Gold Hockey Podcast and our sports media company, and we use the other half of the dollar to pay for these jerseys from Bruce Sullivan. So, and we'd like to keep it going through the summer and into next year and make it an even bigger year, so please sign up. We do about 4 episodes a month to possibly 6, so it's a really small monthly investment of $4 to $6. And you could be walking away and spicing up that fan cave, because I know you need it. You definitely need it for the upcoming year. This is going to be a fun year coming up, hopefully, anyway. But I do want to give a shout-out to our sponsors, FanDuel. You know, please go to FanDuel.com/Boston and sign up to get a first bet. No sweat, first bet up to $2,500. I love FanDuel. I use the app all the time. It's one of my favorites, so... not very good at the gambling, but I still enjoy it. You know, just max is $5. I don't go crazy. And shout out to Action Electronics. Truly appreciate them being on board with us throughout the off season, and hopefully a big year with them as another great sponsor of ours. Again, thank you for the interaction with the questions and everything. I really appreciate it. I want to shout out everybody that's been retweeting, interacting with us. Check out the Discord. The Discord is a community that we have a lot of fun with. And so there's a bunch of different channels that you can hop in. You know, you can talk about the Boston Bruins. You can talk about the Providence Bruins. You can talk about the Maine Mariners. There's a whole shit ton to do over there. And, you know, it honestly helps us pass the off season. So jump in on the conversation on the Discord. Like I said, the link's in the show notes. We'd love to have you aboard. And also, I do want to say one more time, we're looking for help. So if you want to be a website writer or a podcaster on the pod waves, or a YouTube video creator, we'd love to have you. Just reach out. Black and Gold Productions, LLC@gmail.com. Send me a cover letter and so on. Details to get in touch with me are in the show notes as well, down below. So whatever you got to do to get in touch, send me a cover letter. Let me know what particular part of the Boston Bruins organization you'd love to cover, and we'll see what we can do to get you aboard. So again, thank you very much, and we will be back next week to talk more Boston Bruins hockey as we get closer to the NHL draft, free agency, development camp. You know, 4th of July is coming around, the summer's almost over, so we'll be talking more Boston Bruins every week until the pucks drop. So stick with us. Keep participating with questions, and, you know, call us. 978-504-2727 is our listener hotline. Call that 24/7 worldwide. No problem. We'll answer your phone calls. So until then, I'm Mark Allred. I am the founder and CEO of Black and Gold Productions, and we hope that you all have a great Father's Day and a great upcoming week, and be safe out there, and we'll talk bees next week. Thanks again for tuning in and supporting this week's episode of the Black and Gold Hockey Podcast. Please give the show a 5-star rating and write a review on listening platforms such as Apple Podcasts and Spotify Podcasts. If you'd like to contact the show for advertising opportunities or to send us a question or topic idea we should be discussing, please send us an email to blackandgoldproductionsllc@gmail.com. Don't forget to share our program on your social media platforms with other hockey fans, and follow our Twitter accounts @blackandgoldpod, @BNGProductions, @blackandgold277, and @Kevin_O'Keefe89. Also, please don't forget to check out our official blackandgoldhockey.com website, where we cover the Bruins organization from the NHL level down to the prospects worldwide. Peace out.